Welcome to Fronteras, a Changing America. I'm your host, Vanessa Dolbovich. The Department of Homeland Security opened its newest immigration detention center this week in South Texas. It's hailed as the first in a series of more friendly prisons for undocumented immigrants. Fronteras correspondent Hernan Rosenberg reports.
President Obama came into office promising reforms to the country's immigration system. One of those proposals was building less restrictive prisons for illegal immigrants with no violent criminal convictions.
This is the first civil detention facility built from the ground up.
That's Gary Mead, in charge of the country's immigration detention system. He was in Karnes City, Texas this week, proudly leading tours of his least punitive prototype.
Detainees will be able to access a law library, a large medical facility, a walk-up commissary, and a walk-up pharmacy. They will have access to email and the opportunity to visit daily with relatives and close friends.
Mead says this new prison model will be replicated in South Florida and Chicago. The new one in South Texas will house 608 male immigrants when it officially opens later this month. Reporting from Karnes City, Texas, I'm Hernan Rosenberg.
For years, the United States has issued travel warnings for visitors to Mexico, but now a group of lawmakers want one issued for southern Arizona. That has officials along the Arizona border upset. They say a state travel warning will scare tourists away. From Tucson, Michel Marisco reports.
The proposed bill will create a state border warning system. It's vaguely written, but it says the Arizona Department of Homeland Security will monitor threats of terrorism or illegal immigration. If the threat seems real, the agency would warn the public. The bill was sponsored by Peggy Judd. She's a Republican state lawmaker from Nogales. Judd did not respond to repeated requests for an interview. Douglas, Arizona Mayor Michael Gomez is livid. Cochise County is a popular tourist spot for retirees and weekenders. He says warning tourists about illegal immigration is going to frighten them off when there's no real risk.
I have a message for Ms. Judd. She can pack her gun, and I know she's going to need it in South Phoenix more than she'll need it in southern Arizona.
One of the bill's co-sponsors is Katie Hobbs, a Phoenix area Democrat. She said she doesn't remember what she was told the bill would do when she signed on, but she said she's already changed her mind about it.
When I signed on to the bill, I didn't realize the devastating consequences it would have, so I'm not in support of the bill at this time, no.
The state house gave the bill preliminary approval last week. It has not yet been scheduled for a final vote. In Tucson, I'm Michel Marisco.
Comedian Bill Santiago went from a career in journalism to the realm of comedy. Santiago uses his Puerto Rican background to relate to audiences across the country, eliciting laughter by poking fun at Latino culture. He has appeared on Comedy Central as well as The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. He's also the author of the book, Pardon My Spanglish, ¿Por qué? Because. He joins us now in the studio. So let's talk a little bit about your book, Pardon My Spanglish.
Oh, much funnier, yes.
Okay, what is the motivation behind writing a book about Spanglish?
Very easy. I had a publisher come up to me and say, hey, are you interested in writing a book? We saw you on Comedy Central. And if someone asks you, do you want to write a book? The answer is yes. And so I wrote a book. Spanglish is something that I and many Latinos have been steeped in. You know, it's just a default linguistic phenomenon of our lives because most of us live in both languages. You know, in different percentages, right? But we know Spanish, we know English, we speak both, we deal with both, and we understand both. And so you're slipping in and out of both worlds. And what that creates is an ability to simultaneously communicate in both languages. You know, like my mother would say to me all the time, se los estoy repitiendo for the last time. No me hagan pasar un mal rato. Because por mi madre, se los juro, if I have to pull this car over, everybody se va a llevar un cocotazo. Now, that to me is a brilliant linguistic feat to be able to go in
it
and out
really
of both
is.
Languages.
Yeah.
You know, it's so creative, you know, and you really have to have such facility, not only in each language, but how to combine them so that it makes sense grammatically. I have a joke that says twice the vocabulary, half the grammar, right? But that is just a joke. It is so much, it's not just half the grammar, it's both grammars plus another grammar that ties those things together so that they work. If you break a sentence like that down, you really see that the way the the syntax is connected, is done in a very particular way so that you can go in and out of each one and it doesn't jar. You know, if you understand both languages, it kind of flows.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So you need to be very fluent in both languages for that kind of syntax to just come out of you. And it's always unconscious. You're unaware of it. You know, ni siquiera nos damos cuenta that we're doing it, you know? So it's very interesting. And then you have the technology that fuels a lot of it. Like you just have to, it's very automatic. Like Google, right? Yo googleo, tú googleas, nosotros googleamos, right?
And oh, what more conjugation going
right,
on here.
Right, but that just happens naturally, right? Because that a word like Google barely makes it into English.
Right.
So there's not time for the official guardians of Spanish to tell you what it should be officially. But now, you know, you just do it yourself. And you don't just, you would automatically do it verbally, but now you put that stuff out there, you know, on the internet, digitally, and people see it. People speak and write very informally online and via text and via Twitter and in the cloud. And so, you know, but then people see that and that gives it more power and legitimizes it. And it's global, right? So you combine that, you know, internet technology with the numbers of people flooding into this country who speak Spanish and automatically are dealing in English. And, you know, you're getting a very, very volatile linguistic mix. And it kind of fast tracks the way that languages normally grow, because all languages come from that, you know, from linguistic fronteras, from that kind of fusion. It's inevitable. And, you know, Spanish comes from Latin, English comes from our Germanic route, and here they are in this country because of our borders, you know, specifically because of the geography and the demographics, and English and Spanish, and they're reuniting in this country. You know, the Latin and Germanic branch of that original prototypical language are coming together here. And we get to see it happen right before our very eyes.
It's a phenomenon.
It is a phenomenon. I'm hearing a lot of Spanglish advertising now. You know, La Nueva Variety Bucket, the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Cada pedacito de pollo frito está finger-licking delicioso. So, you know, it's people are making money off it. It's out there.
So I can see where this immediately relates to the Latino population, this book, and reading this. I would imagine in the first few pages, you know, they're relating to something. They're chuckling at something.
Yes.
What would the non-Hispanic population learn from a book like this?
Well, you know, Latinos aren't the only ones who speak Spanglish. You know, Spanish has made incredible incursions into English as well. And, you know, like little phrases like zip, zilch, nada. You know, it's that,
sure.
Right? But I mean, that's an English idiom. People in English say it all the time, you know. And also when people speak, when people say jalapeño, you know, when they go, oh, I want a jalapeño. When completely non-Spanish speaking people say jalapeño, they pronounce it correctly. They pronounce that ñe.
Right?
They don't, no one says jalapeño. So they know that the way the ñe is supposed to be pronounced, and once you open up that that little door, it really is a floodgate for linguistic fusion, and so you know you hear it a lot making its way into the English language as well. And of course, there's a whole chapter in there about how non-Spanish speaking Americans use Spanglish in their daily life. And so it definitely addresses that. And also, you know, since Spanglish is sort of a halfway point between the two languages, if you're trying to learn Spanish, one of the steps towards Spanish fluency is Spanglish, you know. And so it really does help you with your studies, you know.
And I have to say, in doing my research for this, one of my favorite, I saw a word in one of your press kits, I think, and it was chilaxiando.
Oh, yeah, right.
That was my favorite. I was like, I'm going to use this every day. I'm going to have a quota.
Chilaxiando, right. It's fun. And I hear new ones all the time. A young girl that I know was having an ice cream cone. She goes, oh, my God, this is so yummy-cioso.
That's great.
It's beautiful, right? How can you be against that kind of linguistic creativity? You know, I mean, people say that it's the corruption of both languages. No, that's the way languages form. Right. You know, all languages come from that. There's no, you need gatekeepers, right? And that's your job, fine. But language does not respect that. You know, people do whatever they have to do to communicate. And that's what keeps the languages. If a language is not changing, it's a dead, the only languages that don't change are dead languages. I'm not the first person. A lot of dead people have said that. And, but, you know, it's and people say it's a bastardization of both languages. I say, you know, yes, learn both languages as best as you can, and then mix them up as much as you can, because that's where the most creative stuff. And it's what makes Spanglish is funny is that you don't expect it, you know, and you realize how creative it is. So you're laughing, you're applauding at the surprise and the creativity. Like someone said to me, "Hey, give me a call, llámame para que so that we can catch up, piamos, so that we can catch up, piamos, you know, catch up, piamos."
Well,
it sounds like we're going to bathe ourselves in Heinz 57, right. You know? But it's fun.
Why do you think certain terms or words make the transition so easily? Like, I know I was in reading up for this, chancla. Why are certain terms like that just so easily accepted while others are like, what are you trying to do?
Well, chancla is a touchstone. You know, it's that's like an iconic a word that everyone recognizes from their childhood. You know, and it was funny because people recognize it because you got beaten with your mother's chancla, right? But they recognize it so fondly. They remember it so fondly, like tenderly. Oh my God, I remember when my mother used to beat me with a chancla. You know, it's sort of a masochistic association that we have with it. But you know, they're just certain words. It represents like Hispanic, Latino, Spanish speaking. Childhood, you know, so it
the
really,
nostalgia.
Yes,
factor.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's something about the word. It's a chancla. There's something about, you know, that those two syllables and that harsh cla, chancla, and the visual, right? You never pick your chancla. You pick your chancla, be taken off the foot and flying through the air like it has wings, you know, like it's a like it's a guided missile of some sort. You know, they should actually name some U.S. weaponry as the chancla missile.
So obviously your background came into play with writing this book, but did you have to do any additional research?
Yeah. I get the book is actually being used at a lot of universities, and because I did research a lot about how languages form, and what the breakdown is, and what the formal studies about linguistics have been. And a lot of people refer to it in, you know, academia as code switching. But people say, oh, yeah, I know what Spanglish is, code switching. They would shrug it off, like, that's all you have to say about it. But I'm like, well, first of all, it's not a code. It's a language. You know, we're not switching codes. We're going back and forth between languages. It's a lot more than just, I mean, and then what does that say? Nothing. When are people switching? Why are they switching? You know, how are those conjugations being done so that they sound natural to our ears in both languages when you're switching back and forth? What are the adjustments that have to be made? You know, and what words are very common to switch on? Like, for instance, cuando is a huge word to switch on. You know, por qué is a huge word to switch on. Que itself is a huge word. You know, look, I was walking on the street, cuando viene este tipo, you know. Or, you know, well, it's been desde cuando we don't take a vacation. Yeah. So, and what I did was I recorded tons of conversations. Like I would have, dinners and stuff where we would just speak. Everybody would naturally be speaking Spanglish because you would invite bilingual people. But then I would record the conversation. They knew they were being recorded. And then I would ask them, oh, why did you say that? We'd write it down. We'd have a discussion about why that happened. And then so I took that stuff and I wrote it into, broke it down into sort of, humorous rules of Spanglish, but with actual real research behind them. And I would tape people on the street without telling them. I always have my recorder. If I ever hear someone speaking Spanglish conversation, I'll walk up behind them. I'll start recording as if I'm talking to my cell phone, but actually recording your conversation. You know, and there are some real keepers. And now people just send me Spanglish online because they know I'm on the lookout for it.
So I want to get your take on the Latino vote affecting the upcoming election. And I know that Time Magazine has recently had an issue devoted to that very issue, and you kind of had your own rebuttal to that. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, Time Magazine said that Latinos will pick the next president. So whatever happens, people, it's our fault.
Dun, so, dun, dun.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. I feel like I got to vote twice. They did this whole issue about Latino voters, and it was very funny because they had so many Latinos on the cover. And if you look at the cover, the way that the the cover is laid out. It's all these like rows, you know, with little blocks of faces. It looks like mugshots.
They do look like mugshots.
So, and the first time I saw it, I didn't think it was a positive story. I was like, oh man, what cartel did they bust? This is all we need, you know, to reinforce the Republican, you know, deport everybody agenda, you know. And then it's the Latinos who pick the next voter. And I wrote him a letter on Huffington Post, you know, and I was like, hey man, why did you, don't you got to realize the power of your negative visual Time magazine. Don't you have any Latinos on staff? You should bring them in the meetings. It's going to save you a lot of, invite the Latinos on staff to the meetings. It's going to save you some embarrassment. Just run this by them. And they you know, they make a big deal of the title of their magazine being Yo Decido. Like it's the first Spanish sentence ever on Time magazine. And wow. Woo, whoa, man.
Bold.
Bold. I was like, you know, Spanish was in this country before English. So Time, you're behind the times. You know, at least you're trying to catch up. And, you know, the title should have been Somos los Deciders, right? it's Spanglish, which is very Back current. And it's got that reference to George Bush in there that people recall. And it's a little humorous. I mean, you know, you need some thinking when you go into that. And, you know, the article made some points, but also missed on a lot of things. And I you know, failed to really go into certain things. And I went at it on Huffington Post. The name of the article is, and I want everybody to look this up right now. Get to your, are you near a computer?
Google. Googleo.
Googleame. Google. And what you have to Google is Huffington Post, Jesus Loves Anchor Babies by Bill Santiago. That is the name of the article, and it's getting a lot of a play. And my point with the title is that, you know, Republicans just assume that because they are family, that they call themselves the party of religion and family values, that they're going to be able to get, they want the Latino vote while they are chasing Latinos out of the country. How can they not see the contradiction in that? But, you know, they assume that because they are, quote unquote, the party of faith and family, that they can automatically count on the Latino vote. And I say, well, you know, you seem to not see something that every Latino family and every Latino voter knows, and that is that Jesus loves anchor babies, just like all other babies. You know, the Republican Party is calling for all the anchor babies and their families to be reported. You know, anchor babies, right? That means
right.
When you come here
right.
And you're a citizen of another country and you come here illegally and you have a baby, that baby
Ta-da.
Is a citizen according to the Constitution, which they want to change because they're saying it's being abused and that that should not offer a pathway to citizenship for the highly fertile people who are coming here. You know, and so, you know, they're spewing against all these. There's so much hatred being spewed against these quote-unquote anchor babies, you know. And, you know, it's a shame that you see that hatred from the people who are so, you know, devout and Christian and evangelical. So you have to make that point. And that's why the name of the title is Jesus Loves Anchor Babies. Huffington Post, you got to look it up. That article, you know, I got into a stand-up because I wanted the immediate response, but these days you can get that response online. People
yep.
see that and they
the
start
internet.
Talking and they have this conversation. It's so funny
Social
to see everybody to see everybody go at it in the commentary. Oh, my God. And by the way, everyone who has commented on the Huffington Post people, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm reading the – I haven't responded because I'm busy on the next one, but I am reading them and I am loving the comments. And I'm so happy that you're enjoying my Huffington Post pieces and I'm going to do a lot more. There's more in the pipeline. So let's go viral.
So what are your upcoming projects? What are some upcoming goals for you?
Oh, well, okay. So this whole book, Pardon My Spanglish, was about talking about the a linguistic – phenomenon that is part of who Latinos and you know, Hispanics and people of the habla are, right? So it's about the way that we speak, you know, really going into that and how we're steeped in both languages. And one of my next projects, one of them, is about the body language, about the way that Latinos dance and all the different varieties, you know. And I do this whole show with live musicians, and it's called The Funny of Latin Dance, and I've done it in San Francisco, I've done it in New York, and I've done it in Los Angeles.
So you dance?
Yeah, I dance a lot. I'm not a dancer. You know, I'm not one
but
of those.
But aren't you automatically supposed to be one? You're Puerto Rican.
Yeah, I go into that too. But it doesn't mean that you can automatically dance. It does, however, automatically improve your odds. You know? automatically, because, you know, the chances are that you grew up with the music, that you dance at home, and, you know, that was certainly a part of growing up. But it also, the show talks about how, you know, the difference between being exposed to dance in that way and then going to, like, a club where everyone's taking lessons and it's all Cirque du Soleil stuff and you don't even recognize it. You're like, what the hell is this? People are throwing each other up into the air. There's trapeze. You know. And then how, you know, it's not just salsa, right? It's these days, it's you go to the clubs and they're dancing everything. There's salsa, bachata, there's tango, there's a lot of cumbia. For me, cumbia is so hard because it's so close to salsa. I immediately, as soon as I get that little hippity-hoppity step, I immediately devolve back into salsa, you know. And, you know, and then I started taking tango lessons as well. And that, you know, the first day they tell you you're not allowed to move your hips. I'm like, but that was your...
What the heck?
You're neutralizing my Latino superpower. I mean, I thought that was the one thing I could count on to make this work. Yeah. And so what I do is I talk about my experiences with all of these dances, you know, and then I start bringing people up on stage and I interact with them live on stage. We talk to them about their experiences with these dances, what dance they want to learn, what's been the challenge for them, who they met dancing. A lot of people have met their significant others. I mean, they are all mating dances, so it's not unusual, right? That's the purpose of these dances. And then we dance together on stage. Either they're showing me or I show them what I know, and we talk about it. And that's where all the humor comes from, me actually dancing on stage with people from the audience. So the show's always different. And the musicians are improvising along with us. It's a very interactive show. And if you look it up online, The Funny of Latin Dance, Bill Santiago, you will see some video. I think right now it's online on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, or Vimeo. I don't know how it's Vimeo.com. The Funny of Latin Dance, yeah. And, you know, hopefully we'll get that up and going. Maybe we can get some TV out of it. But I've been working a lot on the dance side of things. And then, you know, every comedian wants their own TV show, right? So we're working on that too. But it seems now the social media is more powerful than TV. So maybe I should just concentrate on Twitter. Everybody contact me on Twitter, at Bill Santiago. Tweet, tweet, hashtag.
Bill Santiago, thank you so much for joining us on Fronteras today.
Hashtag you're welcome. Hasta la próxima. Hasta la next time.
You can purchase the book, Pardon My Spanglish, Por Qué Because, and find out more about Bill Santiago by visiting billsantiago.com. I'm Vanessa Dabovich. Thanks for tuning into Fronteras, a Changing America.